This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So Patrick Mahomes is the best we've ever seen at the position. Let's move on.
All right.
Miami Heat are in the finals. Storylines galore. Storylines everywhere for you. None bigger, I don't think, Stugatz, than the question of who wants it more? Does, and this is the top of the food chain on who wants it more. The question I'm posing to you and the audience is this. Does LeBron James want to win the championship as much as Pat Riley wants to deny him the championship? That is the who wants it more question that I have for you, because this is all the things that brought LeBron here in Riley's mind to the building of an organization that could support you to win your first championship against, nah, man, I got it. I'll do it myself. I'm the best there's ever been. There are two people in this series, and only two, who think they're the best there's ever been. Because you got one executive who has done it in the finals across six decades.
And Dion Waiters.
Yeah.
I was talking about Dion. Who did you guys think I was talking about?
You
LeBron?
Could have just as easily been talking about J.R. Smith.
Yeah, no, I thought Dion Waiters was where you were going.
So, yes, I want you to imagine the outrage that would just basically scorch the soul of Pat Riley if Dion Waiters was holding up that trophy at the end of the season. I told Zach Lowe the story recently. Can you guys stop? Can you guys stop distracting me doing the radio show? No, I know what you were doing.
Mike,
you
were boxing.
You were boxing each other out to try and get to the Dion Waiters, J.R. Smith joke. I saw what you were doing.
Race.
Can you now stop doing it though?
It's an easy joke. Far too proud of it.
I beat him out quickly on a race on a sprint last week, and he has not let go of it, and he is kicking my butt this week.
You are both like Melo when he grabs rebounds and just yells at everybody, FOH. You are both like that. And it wasn't good enough joke. It was an okay joke, the Dion Waiters jokes. But again, you have to understand something. Dion Waiters created a shame for the Miami Heat organization. This runs sort of counter to the Heat way by passing out on a plane because of an edible.
Yeah. Culture.
Well, and he was fined a lot toward the end. The Heat were just taking money from him wherever it could. It was basically he was being fined for being Dion Waiters.
But I love what you've created here. This is not so much about the Heat winning a championship for Riley as it is about denying LeBron a championship. That's why I keep saying it will feel like winning two championships down here.
But let's cover some of this stuff so that you guys understand what the history is here, because there's basketball history here. There's personal history here. The stories are rich in terms of some of the stuff we're talking about. So if you look back in time, and this decade has been dominated by LeBron. He's turned ESPN into an infomercial for the things that he does over the last 10 years, ever since we got into bed with him making a television show that made him go child famous to superstar famous to infamous to biggest star in sports, the Michael Jordan of our time, supported by the worldwide leader in sports that just can't get enough of him for 10 bleeping years. And over those 10 bleeping years, Pat Riley was a part of the first half, and LeBron James and Pat Riley had basically what you saw happen at the end with Brady and Belichick. Well, who's responsible for this? Are we in this together? Are we responsible together as a team? Boom. It breaks up. LeBron says, no, I won because of me, because I came into my prime. And Pat Riley's on the other side saying, yeah, but you weren't posting up J.J. Barea when you got here. You had to add to your game, and you had to learn some of the things that got learned. That, you know, Shane Battier tells us that Hassan Whiteside gets out there after they won a championship and he's laying down on the court after sprints and a bunch of champions are coming and picking him up and saying, no, this is how we do it over here. You're embarrassing us. So LeBron says, no, I don't need this culture. I've learned what I need to learn. You thought player empowerment was 2010. I'm going to show you player empowerment. I'm going to leave again and I'm going to win a championship and I'm going to create my defining moment in Cleveland. I'm going to do the thing in Cleveland that sort of excuses me for being 3-6 in the finals.
I'm going to build that team up that boosted its assets that they got directly from you for a fifth year I didn't actually sign up for, and I'm going to recruit against you.
The Cleveland Cavs only had the pieces to get LeBron James because they were such a disaster as an organization after LeBron James left, doing things like signing Luol Deng because they thought they were a piece away. They then had Andrew Wiggins to trade for Kevin Love.
Mike, you don't sound bitter at all.
Oh, I am bitter.
Well, imagine if Mike's bitter. Imagine how Pat Riley feels now. Now go back, okay? At the end, Pat Riley's got to re-recruit him. And he signs like Josh McRobdus and Danny Granger.
I forgot the Granger one.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say it wrong, Tony. Josh McRobdus is what they call him around the Heat organization. Like, that's how they were going to bring LeBron back, with Danny Granger and Josh McRobdus.
Yes, and just keep in mind how personally LeBron took what Kawhi did this offseason, where they were all waiting around for Kawhi's decision, and the only thing left there was Danny Green, and the Lakers are weaker for it. LeBron tried to do that with Miami, because he kind of feared this day would come. And if it wasn't for blood clots, it would have came a lot sooner.
And so here we are, though, Greg Cody. Here we are with the storylines of... And I want you guys to understand when it comes, good Lord, during a pandemic, to sort of think about your mortality, where Pat Riley for years has been talking about wanting to retire, but the game's got a grip on him, that, and it's so much a part of his identity. And here he is in his mid-70s, and the world is so upside down that he can't even physically get close to his team because he's in the demo that's dangerous when it comes to this stuff. And there are protocols, and he built what it is that you see out there. Eric Spoelstra, because that organization is filled with loyalists and lifers. If you leave, you're out. You're excised. Whether you're Randy Fun, Stan Van Gundy, you're excised. You are not in a relationship with Pat Riley anymore if you are not a member of the Miami Heat. He still can't talk to Larry Bird and Michael Jordan because of the wars they had four decades ago.
Although I have a feeling if LeBron wanted to come back, Pat would welcome him back. I mean,
fair enough, but that's not what we're talking about today. Way to go to a take that you've used many times over the last 6 years.
I mean, once you leave, you can't come back unless you're LeBron, then you can come back.
I mean, he's 35 at this point. At this point, it's getting a little late in the game for that.
You think you trade Bam out of bio for it?
I think he'd consider it.
Back.
What's that, Billy?
You don't think that he would take LeBron back? That's ridiculous.
I'm guessing they probably could. They've got room for a whale. I don't know that LeBron would come back anyway. So you've got the backstory of Pat Riley being taken to Las Vegas, dog and pony show, where he gets his ego hurt, his feelings hurt, because it seemed for all of us to see like LeBron had wrestled the power of the league from him. Like, this is when Phil Jackson is failing with the Knicks. Phil Jackson, who used to be Titan leader, and LeBron was here to tell you, no, I lead now. I'm done with these old guys that I need in order to do what I want to get. No, I'll get it myself. And so here you have in the finals. Here it is. Like, you can't have it any clearer than this. The Miami Heat don't have the best players in this series. What they have is this culture. I know you're sick of hearing it. The root word is a cult. They've got a cult here. LeBron joined the cult, then left the cult. He hurt the cult. You leave cults. Try it with Scientology. See how that goes for you. You leave cults. It's problematic. And so he left the cult. Dwayne Wade left the cult, but they welcomed him back to the cult. He's brainwashed again.
But they let him back.
They did let him back.
And then he started recruiting for the cult.
And he recruited for the
Jimmy
cult.
Butler.
Jimmy Butler's a Scientologist now. And so that's what's on display here, because you cannot argue that the Miami Heat has the best players. You can only argue that the Miami Heat has a better team. And that is it right there. LeBron, let's see what you got. You went and did it your way. Player empowerment. You got Anthony Davis. He's better than anyone they got. Your second best player is better than anyone the Heat has. Anyone. Now what?
Heat in five?
Yep.
All right, so we got some things that we've got to cram into the show today. We've got Ron McGill at 11 o'clock Eastern. He's going to join us, the animal doctor, to take your questions. Billy Gill, how do you feel right now about your useless sound montage? You didn't even have time to talk yesterday. I feel for you every Monday because you go into this awful hellhole of useless sound from football. How are you feeling about this useless sound montage?
You know,
Okay, very good. Greg, is your Back in My Day ready? Is it prepared?
No, I don't have one this week. I'm sorry.
Are you? Like, are you?
Sort of. Yeah. A little bit.
I mean, I don't feel
because
like...
Because I know you want me to have one every single week, and I'm trying harder to do that. I did one last week. I think I've done one like, you know, 6 of the last 7 weeks or something. But
no, I don't think your math is right on that.
No, I
don't believe you're right of 6 of the last 7 weeks.
And one of them was recycled, by the way.
Yeah, one of them you had already done before as well, and then you protested doing the next one saying that you'd been called out on that.
That's true. It's just such a good time right now in Miami sports, Dan, that Greg doesn't want to be living in the past, you know?
Right, he doesn't want to be doing...
Billy is right on with that, spot on. Been a little bit of a busy week for me.
Yeah, and he was arguing during Big Suey, which you could get digitally, that Dan Marino is still better than Patrick Mahomes. If you want his homerific work, you can find it at the Miami Herald.
It is a busy week for a local columnist journalist down here because you have the Marlins in the playoffs and the Heat in the finals at the same time. When does that ever happen?
It's true. It is a busy week. And also, we asked Greg Cody to do one thing a week. One thing. A second thing, if you say just showing up, but we don't ask his microphone to work. We don't ask his Zoom to work. We don't ask him to be competent. We don't ask for anything other than this one thing a week.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get to it next week.
So here is Guillermo's useless sound montage. This is, you just saw right there with all the elaboration that Guillermo gave me on how he felt about this useless montage. And Greg Cody, you see the support that we get around here. Let's go ahead and play the useless sound montage.
That's a good team win, and anytime you're plus 5, that's a darn good, okay?
I feel like the luckiest guy in the world sometimes getting to go outside and play football with my friends.
You know, we go to work, we work on the fundamentals, we keep grinding on a daily basis, and we work to see the results. That's where we go back to work.
There's no fans here, but we still want to win at home, and we want to win it for the fans.
It'll never be about momentum or positive experiences to me. I'm about winning. I expect to win. I know we expect to win. No moral victories around here.
It was an ugly win, but it was a win nonetheless.
This is a loss to me. I don't really know. We didn't win.
It's like a boa constrictor, right? All of a sudden, you see that offense just shrink. Everything's underneath.
Tom was just the icing on the cake.
Kudos to the coaches and those guys for communicating and not blinking in the midst of some of those things that has to transpire when those things happen.
You look at the big picture, and I think there's a feel to it. There was a feel today to it. None of this was premeditated. It was just a feel.
There's a lot of team football going on today out there. All 11 guys just working together as a unit.
Even though he has great stats, he's not a stat guy.
You get an honest day's work out of Myles Garrett, and really proud of him.
We were behind the sticks the whole second half.
You know, it was a long process. I had to trust in the process.
This game, when you can do it the right way, is really special.
I just got to control what I can control.
Control what you can control.
It is what it is.
And we are what we are.
Is it formation first? Is it play second? Is it play first and formation second?
It's part of the game.
The one thing we can do is try to be 1-0 next week.
1-0 every week.
The thing I have to figure out right now is how to keep this team to understand what's causing them to lose.
You know, something's got to kick these boys in the rear end to get them going.
When you're playing quarterback, there's only one of them.
I've been where he's been, and it's not easy.
I think the guys just played like they're capable of.
You know, this is just one day.
When bad stuff happens, you just gotta roll with the punches.
Proud of our team for fighting.
A little bit of a gut check.
We knew it was a 60-minute fight.
There wasn't a lot of blink in the group. They absorbed the necessary adjustments, and sometimes that's necessary.
It's a lot more football to go.
There's a lot of football left.
Defensively, the biggest problem is they cannot tackle.
We got to do a better job of tackling.
Your ability in the waning moments to possess the ball and not put your defense back in harm's way.
I put the ball in harm's way twice.
That's a Ron Rivera coach team. You know, that's a tough team.
I kind of felt like, I was back in a time warp.
Billy, I got to tell you, you've gotten very good at making those musical. They feel very musical. They are well done. Thank you for your work on the useless sound montage. Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Do you always get an honest day's work out of Myles Garrett? At
Lebatard. There was that one time.
This is from Dove Kleiman. This is where we are with the New York football teams, the Giants and the Jets. You're exonerated if you are a Bills fan. the 49ers were missing on Sunday. Now, keep in mind, the 49ers won by how many points? Was it 1,000 or was it just 900?
I think just 900.
All right, so they go into New York and they beat the Giants. Are we done with Daniel Jones? I mean, he comes out of the box throwing for 400 yards. We were celebrating Gettleman. Are we done with Daniel Jones?
I mean, Barkley's out. I'm not done with Danny Dimes yet.
All right, you're still sticking by Danny Dimes. Yeah. Very good. You be the only one. So the place that we are with Danny Dimes and the Giants is this. He was at home. He lost by the aforementioned 900, and the 49ers were missing quarterback number one, running back number one, running back number two, tight end number one, tight end number two, wide receiver number one, number four, and number five, cornerback number one, cornerback number two, cornerback number four for Danny Dimes. That's three starting quarterback cornerbacks that the Niners were missing. Defensive end number one, defensive end number three, defensive end number four, defensive end number five, linebacker number two.
Giants scored 9 points.
That's unbelievable. That all your Jets did was ruin the 49ers by injuring all of them for the Giants, who then lose by 900 points at home. Christine Lisi does the updates around here. She is professional. We are not. Her professionalism is contained to the Cathedral that is the sports update at the half hour marks of what we do around here, but we interrupted her. So please, Christine, continue.
And finally, James Cameron is done filming Avatar 2 and says Avatar 3 is 95% complete. Speaking of things nobody asked for, here's more Dan and Stu.
There it is. No one has asked for more of this. She is so right in every way. Can you help me with something here? I can't believe what I overheard, because we have mocked Tony relentlessly for his contention that the best time to nap is on a Sunday between, you know, 3 and 5, which we all know 16 weeks a season is absolutely not so. 16 Sundays, that is not so.
It's the worst time to nap.
Well, you say that, but Billy, I think you have some news to report on this front, do you not?
Oh, Dan, this Sunday, guess what happened to me? I was watching some football and the Dolphins were off, and, you know, I have to watch the Dolphins for the local hour and all that stuff to have an idea what's going on with the Dolphins. But the Dolphins were off, so I just had the red zone, so it was a little bit easier, but I have responsibilities where I need to send NFL. We don't need to get caught up in all the reasons why I need to watch the NFL on Sundays and how it's not super fun. But I dozed off, and as I was waking up, it was like the voice of God speaking through Scott Hansen and Stu Gatz. The first words I heard as my eyes were opening, things were a little bit blurry, light was coming in. I just saw blue from the sky because the window was open. And the first words I heard was, "We're entering the witching hour."
Oh, wow. All right. So put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. What is better, okay? Returning from the bathroom to your meal already being there at a restaurant, or waking up from a nap and hearing the words, "We're entering the witching hour"?
First thing I heard when I woke up from my nap is Indianapolis going the other way on a pick six of the Jets. That was the first thing I heard.
Thanks. Yep.
We've got an active COVID situation, our first in the NFL, and now we will see how this goes, because we don't have a precedent for it. The Tennessee Titans have had how many positive tests? 3, Stugatz?
This, according to Diana Rossini, they have 3 players who have tested positive, 5 new personnel positives for the COVID-19, and now she just reported, a league source has texted her, quote, "We are shutting Tennessee down until Saturday. That means no Titans coaches or players can be in that building."
And yeah, now that goes for the Vikings as well, who played the Titans on Sunday. They are shutting down their facility as well. So this is the first COVID-related test that the NFL is really facing.
Isn't she on her honeymoon? Why is she reporting this from her honeymoon? This seems like not a great use of your honeymoon.
I'm not certain. I will text her and ask her. I think she had the virtual wedding, which I attended on Saturday, but I don't think there was a honeymoon. I think she plans on doing that after the party, which she's having in 2022. So,
should we call her and ask her? Because this begs, this whole situation obviously creates a lot of questions. It's this is greatest fear type stuff. Here it is. This is the first one we have not seen. this exactly in football. You're now used to college football games right and left getting canceled. You got used to baseball games being canceled.
Notre Dame has 18 positives right now.
Cody, do you have anything for us that would be insight or thoughts on what it is that's happening in Tennessee right now?
Well, I'm wondering, just based on what I've heard, is the game canceled or not?
The facility is closed until Saturday, evidently. So they're not even, I don't know how they prepare under these circumstances. They can't physically prepare under these circumstances.
I mean, they play the Steelers, and if their facility is shut down until Saturday, it stands to reason that game is probably going to be canceled or delayed or postponed, something.
Right? I don't know. The league hasn't weighed in on it, but if the facility is closed Saturday, that just means no contact in practice, but they can still meet up over Zoom like they did throughout training camp, and we'll see what happens with the Vikings. The college football, we sort of got used to games being canceled or rescheduled. The ACC got a jump on it, so they allowed their schedule flexibility to make up the games before, you know, the college football playoff time. The NFL, we haven't really seen that protocol tested at all. It's going to be a major deal if an NFL game is canceled because the playoff implications aren't as subjective. You don't have a college football playoff committee. You have records. So I wonder what happens if a game does get rescheduled.
Diana Rossini is not on her honeymoon. She's in her apartment. She's doing TV today. So if she is someone that you would like to have on to elaborate on any of this, I'm certain that she would.
Yeah, let's have her on next because we've got a lot of questions. For example, Stugatz, I think I have not dug into the numbers on this, but it appears to me that even by the violent standards of that sport, there seem to be a whole lot of folks getting injured. And I don't know if there's a correlation between how they had to prep and sort of everything being disrupted in terms of the preparation. I don't know what physically goes into getting those rock hard bodies being properly granite so they are ready for all the collisions that come. But I don't think you could go into an NFL football game on Sunday without having any contact that entire week of preparation and just end up going in without any of the physical prep that you need to do. You can't recreate what practice is by Zoom. You could do meetings, but practice itself, I don't know what it does in terms of injury to not have, you know, with wrestlers all the time, right? Wrestlers, that sport is also crazy. That sport has people who die young all the time. And what they tell you about that sport is if you're not continually doing it when you're doing it, the worst thing you could do is like take 6 months off and then try and do it without your body being calloused. It's a nightmare to try and physically do it that way. So I have no idea how it affects the Tennessee Titans to not be able to get into their facility.
I was just remembering what Freddie Kitchen's whole strategy was in Cleveland. He understood that you have to build up a body callus. So then all our players just got injured in the preseason instead.
Well, there has to be a correlation between no preseason and all these injuries we're seeing because it's the first time ever that you've had your season opener after no hitting against another team. But, you know, in the case of Tennessee, I mean, they would be at a terrible competitive disadvantage if they are out of the facility all week and then they have to go into a game Sunday. I don't know how they can not postpone this game. It's going to be fascinating to see.
Diana Rossini going to join us next. News from the Dan Le Batard with Stugatz Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. This is from Mark Mixon at Mixon_Mike. Did Dan just compare the Miami Heat to Scientology at Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it. Diana Rossini is waiting.
All right. So, yes, I was talking about cultures and the root word being a cult, and Scientology is also a cult. Diana Rossini had her wedding virtually. Thank you and congratulations, Diana. I did not know that Stugatz said that the Zoom party was great, that your wedding was amazing, and that he had attended at the proper time.
Yeah, the Zoom ceremony, it was not the party. The party will be in 2022, but it was a beautiful ceremony, Diana. Congratulations.
There is no way Stugatz showed up to that. Prove it.
I was there at 1 o'clock. What do you mean? Prove it. Woj sent me. Woj, here's the best part. Woj, there's a chat room, and Woj meant to send something to everyone, and he just sent it to me. Okay, that is my proof. Okay, so you can ask Adrian. All right, I got a Woj bomb during your wedding.
Okay, but do you not believe him? The bride does not believe that Stugatz, because he just started yammering, and sometimes he does that to cover up his lies. Like, do you believe him?
I don't. I think there were enough people at the company that attended that he could either copy off their Instagram videos of it or follow along on what I was posting to sort of put together a fabrication of this is probably what happened. And guys, you know, my family's very predictable, so he could probably tell a story that we know would fit my family, and it probably happened. So yeah, the fact that he even remembered today when he's talking to me now here that I did get married. But yeah, there was no chance. You showed up, but thanks anyway. Babe.
Was mom wearing a blue dress? Boom!
Yeah, because I posted a photo of her. She was.
Are we sure?
You know what?
We're not sure. We believe you, I think. Put it on the poll. Who do you believe about whether or not Stugatz went to Diana Rossini's virtual wedding? Stugatz's contention that he did, or Diana's contention that he didn't?
I mean, Cassidy Hubbard said she was crying in her kitchen. I said I was, too. I was actually in my kitchen. I just came off the college game day set. I mean, and listen, they wanted to keep me on longer. I told them I had to go to Rossini's wedding.
I
mean, so...
I don't believe you.
I'm going to guess
either.
That you weren't. Yeah, I don't think you were working. I think you were probably golfing, and there was no chance that you took your phone out to watch it. And look, here's the thing. I'm Catholic, so the mass was very long. There weren't a lot of people, and it was boring. You know, most anyone that was watching that was probably like, "This is, you know, let's move this along here." So, knowing your attention span, there's no way you got through that.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I sat down in my kitchen at a kitchen chair. I put my computer out. I was so happy for you.
You are literally unbelievable. You are not believable. I believe Diana Rossini on this. The report here out of Titans camp, how responsible or irresponsible were they in terms of flying to Minnesota and everything that happened there? Is it too early to know what happened?
So the backstory here is their outside linebackers coach, Shane Bowen, tested positive before they left for Minnesota. Shane is also the pseudo, I guess you could call it, defensive coordinator. Mike Vrabel is a big part of it, but Shane has been carrying a lot of that responsibility this year. So he's around a lot of people and a lot of players and coaches and people that work with Tennessee. But, you know, they're really vigilant about testing there. And when Bowen tested positive, I spoke to people in Tennessee to find out, you know, is he the only one? How's this working? And other tests came back negative in terms of the other players and the people that had been around him. So Tennessee just did what they thought was the right thing to do, which was, we're okay, we're safe, we're healthy, let's go. And now you're seeing that this looks like a mini breakout. We may have to drop the word mini by later this afternoon because people are getting tested as the day goes on here. So now where we're at with Tennessee is you have three new people that tested positive for it on top of five people that work for the organization. So that gets us to about eight. I had heard 10. So I think this number is just going up, unfortunately, guys.
Do you expect Tennessee to be playing a football game on Sunday?
I do not expect Tennessee to play this game. I don't know how they're going to be able to do this. They've been put out of the facility. They cannot go to the facility. This is players and coaches starting right now. It's been shut down. A league source had told me they were shutting them down until Saturday, and just talking with players and coaches that work for the team or with the team, there's a strong belief this isn't going to happen. Most just saying, how are we going to be able to play this game? I'm in touch with the Steelers as well. They're obviously watching closely here as they're supposed to travel to Nashville. And this was supposed to be the first game at Nissan Stadium in Tennessee where there was going to be fans. So there is another element to all of this. And obviously Minnesota is also concerned. They've been shut down today because Tennessee played the Vikings in Minnesota last week. And I talked to someone with Minnesota before, and he said, I wonder if they got it here. I wonder if we have more people. I wonder if we're the catalyst of it. We started it. So everyone right now, this is all kind of moving fast. This has been going on for about the last hour or so. But now everyone is, you know, the league has obviously stepped in here, and they're going to be really smart, I think, and safe and conservative.
Diana, we have about a minute here. So if this game gets canceled, what happens? What does that mean? How do they make it up? Does the NFL have a plan in place for something like this?
They apparently have a plan in place. I just don't know what that is. That was something that I was never able to find out when we were going through all this process. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some ideas. Maybe they could play on a Tuesday. I don't know. I actually don't know that answer for you. So I'm actually not, I'm doing what Stugatz doesn't normally do, which is just admit they don't know.
No, you're allowed to do that.
No,
this is an unknown. This has got a lot of unknown. Is there anything else from this that you find particularly interesting or newsworthy, noteworthy?
I'm concerned. I think this is going to be the first thing to swing here that we were concerned about, right? I think I joined you guys this summer, and a lot of us predicted, a lot of people in the NFL world predicted that the season would go on, we would play. But I'm not sure if we all felt confident the season would go fully. And I think this is the first big boulder the league is going to have to get through. As we know, they're not in a bubble, and it's been a risky season, and everyone was feeling really good and confident, but I think December is just going to go up, and there's going to be more teams that are going to wind up testing positive besides just Tennessee.
Diana, thank you for being on with us. Appreciate you taking time out from what isn't your honeymoon.
It's not. One quick thing. Right before I was married, I had to call Jimmy Garoppolo.
Because
I'm working on a story with him.
Hold on a second, Diana. Yeah. Cody, did you have anything for Diana?
No.
Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.